Okay, good morning, everybody. It's Parshas Metzorah, and we're here to learn an interesting piece about how Hashem relates to the person who has tzaras in a very particular and unusual way. And because of that, from there we could see a very interesting idea about sin in general, about empathy, about acceptance. And we'll take a look. So let's start with the basic theme in this week's parsha. We know that there are different mitzrayim who get purified. That's the beginning of the parsha. But then we also end up discussing the case of nigei batim. Now, nigei batim is a very unusual thing. Nigei batim is some kind of discoloration or affliction in the walls of the house. And like tzaras, it comes for a reason, and it's tameh, but unlike tzaras, it's of decidedly a more miraculous nature because, tzaras itself was some kind of disease. It was a disease that had spiritual manifestations, much as, for example, someone could be a zav or a zava. It's a disease, but it has spiritual manifestations. But the house, the walls of the house are just houses don't get sick in that way. And of course, they get moldy, but in the first one, don't seem to consider that option. So, in any case, we have over here a house that has some kind of discoloration on it. And again, the obligation is to take it to the Kohen. And the Kohen passes judgment, and we will see about that very soon. But before we get to even the Kohen, we have the introductory pasuk, which is in Perek Yedalad, pasuk Lamed Dalad, and it says, Kisavo el Aretz Canaan. When you come to Canaan, because they didn't have houses in the Midbar, Asher ani nosi mochem la'achuzo, v'nosati neged tzaras b'zeif Eretz achuzaskam, and I will place a negatzaras, some kind of affliction and discoloration in the homes of your possession. Now let's take a look at Rashi over there, an important Rashi. Nonsati negatzaras, and I will put a negatzaras. Kesurahi lohem, it's good news for them. Shenegoyim boim aleihem, that negayim, that afflictions are coming on the house. Because the Amorites who knew that the Jews were coming over the 40 years that they were in the Midbar, they knew they were coming, and therefore they hid their treasures inside the walls. And through the nega, through the affliction, you end up, if it reaches the worst stage, and they're not able to purify the house, eventually the whole house has to be destroyed. If the whole house is destroyed, they would end up seeing the buried treasure, as it were, inside the walls. Now, there's a couple of things to understand about this. First of all, where's the diyuk? Is Rashi just telling us a medrash, or is there a diyuk from the pasuk? So there is a diyuk from the pasuk because it says, "Nosati neged tzaras," and I will put a neged tzaras. Now, that sounds like a prediction. And if it's just related to sin, usually there are circumstances where there is a prediction, but usually Hashem would not predict a sin. So he's saying, "I will put." There'll be circumstances where I'm going to put the neged tzaras into the house, not because of sin, but because it's to signal to you that there's something hidden in the house. But not every time that there's a neged tzaras does it have to be due to a sin. Although one might say that if the person was on the highest madriga, they might be zochah to the treasure without having their house destroyed. That's a possibility. That's a thought. But in any case, certainly not the sin that warrants tzaras. The other proof is because it says nosati, I will place. And this is a very interesting theological point. Hashem is only good. He only does good things. So if somebody got ill or got sick from tzaras, if they fell ill, it the phraseology that the Pasuk would use wouldn't be Nasati, and I will put. Hashem doesn't have to put it on the person. If the person withdraws from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and breaks his bond through his averus, then in time that bond will decay and the person will grow sick inside and out. And some of that sickness, if he's the person of the right sensitivity and the right temperament, some of that sickness would include the sickness of Taras. But that's different than Hashem putting it there, because Hashem doesn't do bad things to the person. Over here, it says Hashem personally puts the Nega Taras in the house because Hashem is doing a good thing. Because actually, it's signaling the presence of the buried treasure, and it also requires, as we said, much more divine intervention, because it's not a natural process. Houses don't get sick. Hashem had to do this to bring this about. Okay, so that's a very interesting piece. Of course, what we need to understand is that that's the best case scenario, right? That there'll be times where the nega in the house is a good thing, but there's other midrashim that talk about the nega in the house being for averus, and it's on a continuum that it starts with the clothes, and then it goes to the house, and then it goes to the person's body, that they're given a chance to do tshuva all along. So just keep in mind that although there is something about the house nega that could potentially be a good thing and not be for averus, generally speaking, it is for averus, which brings us to the main focus, which is what happens when you come to the Kohen. So here's a very unusual scenario where the Torah encourages the Jewish people to take advantage of a loophole. And normally, there are things that the Gemara calls harelos, tricks, which sometimes, most of the time, are discouraged, and once in a while, for the sake of practicality, are allowed. Like, for example, Hillel enacted a certain kind of legal process where the Besdin owned part of the loan and had it attached to some property. But whatever it was, they created a device that prevented Shmita from breaking up the loan, from annulling the loan. And Hillel needed to do that because people began to stop loaning money close to Shmita time, or maybe even further away, because they were afraid they wouldn't get paid back and they'd have no recourse legally to take the money. Now the Pasuk says you're not allowed to do that. The Pasuk says maybe you'll have Yishom Elucha, maybe you'll have thoughts of Belial, Korvish Nasa Sheva, Shnasa Shmita, the Shmita year is coming and I won't lend the person money, and the real mitzvah is to lend the person money even an hour before, perhaps. And the Torah was expecting us to do that, but people didn't have their strength, so Hillel was mishakim in the principle. But generally speaking, we don't like loopholes in the Torah, and yet here's a pasuk, which we'll see in a moment, that actually encourages the use of a legal loophole. Let's take a look. Tetziva HaKohen, and the Kohen will command, Utinu es habayis, and they should empty out the house. The term Yavol HaKohen, Liros es Nega, before the Kohen comes to see the Nega, Lo Yitna Kol Asher Babayis, so everything in the house will not become Tamei, Ba'achar Kein, Yavol HaKohen, Liros es Habayis, and then the Kohen will come in and look at the house. So one of the features of the din of Taras is that it has to be declared by the Kohen. Even in the time of the Bayis Sheni, when some of the Kohanim were Amei Haaretz, that they were not learned and they had to be coached in the halakhas by the Chachamim, the fact of the matter is, no matter what the Chachamim would say, it would have zero impact on whether or not the Mitzorah would be Tamei. The only impact would be is if the Kohen declares it. Al-Tia Kohen is through the mouth of the Kohen. So the Kohen's coming to look at the house, and he tells people, and the Torah advises him to tell people, clear out the house, so that in case I see Taras and I have to declare the house Tamei, everything in the house won't become Tamei, because it will be outside the house when I make the declaration. So there you have it, one of the very few, if not the only, biblically endorsed legal loophole. So So what's really going on over here? And actually, the plot thickens. Because if you look at Rashi, Rashi questions, and it's based on a Mishnah and a Gaiman and Perek Yud Beis and a Taras Koinen, so you could look up for more clarification. But Rashi told us an interesting analysis. And he says, V'alma chosar ha-Torah. And what is the Torah concerned about? Right? The Torah is concerned that whatever is in the house should not become tame. So what is the Torah really concerned about? Im al kli shetef, if we're talking about kelim that could be purified through tevila, through dipping in the mikveh, which would include menel kelim, and others, forgot bilon v'yitaru. So be tevil them and let them be tamar. In other words, it's not a major expense to take your kelim and put them to the mikveh. So the Torah couldn't be worried about that. V'ma ochlen amashkin, pardon me a second, I have to sneeze. V'ma ochlen amashkin, and maybe we're talking about food and drink. After all, you can have some rather expensive food and drink, right? So what about that? Maybe the Torah is worried about that being made tameh. No, no big deal. Yochlen be made to muscle. After all, people become tamei for all kinds of reasons. A woman becomes tamei quite often. There'd be plenty of use for the food. If not, you could sell it to somebody who's tamei. The point is, the food, neither not, is a major loss. So what is the Torah worried? What is the Torah worried about? So what is the Torah concerned about? What is the real concern that the Kohen is suggesting that you empty everything out of the house? It's just for clay cheres. It's ein lehem tahor b'mikvah, because the clay cheres, earthenware vessels, do not get purified in the mikvah. The only solution for a clay cheres is to smash and destroy it. So because the person's clay cheres are going to be smashed and destroyed, so that's why we have a situation where the Kohen advises you to empty out the house. Now, we've got a couple of interesting dynamics here. That's the Rashi. But you see, you have to go further. Because the Gemara in Erechin on Tes Zayin, as we mentioned, a nedra in the house, tzaras in the house, was not only a good news thing. It could be a good news thing, but it often was part of a punishment. If you look at the Gemara in Erechin, the Gemara in Erechin says, the tzira Kohen of Pinus Abayit. The Kohen commands and cleans out the house. Tana, we were taught, Ku konis mamon sheinu shelo. He took money that was not his. Yavo kohen v'saj mamono. In other words, this guy was possibly a ganav. He was a robber. So midi k'neged midi, everything in his house gets emptied out and people see it. And also about tzarsa ayin. It's also for being cheap. This person was a cheapskate, wouldn't lend people, wouldn't host people. He claimed he didn't have anything. And then it says, basically, that neither can make it neither. His house is emptied out. Everybody sees what he has. Perhaps he loses use of his house. So these are the punishments. So who's getting punished? Let's analyze this. Who is getting punished with the house that has the nega? A person who is very cheap. His onus, his punishment, is mida k'neged mida. He has to have the contents of his house emptied out, and he's going to be embarrassed, and he's going to lose the use of his house, and he's going to go through some appropriate introspection about his selfishness and about his cheapness. So this man has to go through some kind of process. But let's understand, what actually is he losing, right? So according to the Torah, the only thing that really is the potential loss, it's not the food and drink that could be eaten when you tame. It's not the metal vessels, because they can be tevil. So what's the Torah worried about for him? What is the Torah offering? A loophole just because Hashem cares about his financial loss? The clay cheres, the earthenware vessels. Now, here's the thing that you have to understand. Earthenware vessels in the time in ancient times were the plastic disposable plates of our time. Now, granted, they didn't dispose of anything. They didn't waste a thing. They lived in a society where everything had value, and they didn't just throw things away. However, the fact of the matter is that clay was in great abundance and was the cheapest material, and all you had to do was dig into the ground and find some clay, and you could craft for yourself a vessel that you could use relatively cheap. So the cheapskate, this guy who's getting punished for Tsaras because he is cheap, shall we say that a regular person perhaps would hardly be troubled if his earthenware vessels got destroyed because he's not a cheapskate and they're not that expensive and it wouldn't really bother him. And if they became tummy and they had to be smashed, it wouldn't even bother him so much. But this person, the person who is pathologically cheap and is being punished for it, even though he's being punished for this, and even though he has to uproot this nida from his character, this selfishness and this cheapness, and that's why he's going through this, even while he's going through it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing incredible kindness and understanding by Asher Husham, how he is, where he is, and since this is such a great distress for this person, because of his bad nida, Hashem is still having rachmanas and giving the Kohen a directive to give the family advice, take everything out of the house so it doesn't get ruined. So incredibly, this is what I want to bring out over here, that it's quite possible, and this shows you the incredible empathy and understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for the sinner, that incredibly we are allowing the person who is suffering the whole nega in the first place, the whole destruction of the house, because of his tzaras ayin, because of his cheapness, because of his selfishness. And we are saying that, you know what, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that, and you know what, blah, 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 I know, and I got to punish you, and you have to learn to let go, and you can't be so cheap. And you're going to lose your house, and everything in your house is going to be thrown out onto the street, and you're going to be terribly embarrassed, and it's going to be bad, and I'm doing it so you learn something. And even so, while I'm doing it, I feel bad for you. And I know that you're going to get stressed out about those cheap earthenware vessels, and it's going to bother you a lot, and it shouldn't, because a normal person wouldn't bother. But I know this is really hard for you, so I'm going to give you a little advice. Clean out the house first, so they don't become tamei. That's how loving and understanding the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is toward the sinner. And the real antidote, the antidote to selfishness, the antidote to a lack of perspective and being cheap, the real antidote is empathy. It's pushing ourselves into the mind frame and the mindset of the other person and trying to understand what the other person is going through and what they're feeling subjectively, even when it's not right, even when it's not fair, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows the way. He shines the light with his own amazing kindness. Here, the person's being punished for tzaras ayin, for cheapness. And it's a poor character trait, and the character trait has to be eradicated. And yet at the same time, there's an understanding of how painful this is for him to lose his cheap little vessels. And so Hashem has some mercy on him. So that's the key, right, of empathy. That is the restorative process, to understand and care about what the other person is, and not even necessarily to pass judgment on whether or not the person deserves. Maybe he has it coming. Certainly this person over here has it coming. He definitely has it coming. He's being punished for being cheap. And Hashem still shows him rachmanis and allows this loophole to happen and actually directs the Kohen to give advice to tell him to empty out the house so his cheap kelim won't be destroyed. Now, in the Haftorah of Mitzorah, we find a similar process where these four Mitzorayim and their chutz l'machana And what happens is, at some point, they're all starving because there was a siege, and they come to the enemy camp, and they notice that the enemy camp was completely emptied. Little did they know that there was a miracle that happened, that Akash Baruch made it happen to rescue and save the Jews from terrible famine and starvation. But they came to a completely empty camp, and there was food and water and every possible need. And first they started to eat, and then they said to themselves, we can't do this when our brothers are starving, and they don't know about this great opportunity. So at risk to themselves, they traveled back to the camp, the Jewish camp, and they said, even though we're Mitzrayim, we want to explain to you, we came from the enemy camp, and there's all this food, and they're abandoned, and whatever. And so then that was when the Jewish victory came, and they went to the food, and everybody was saved. But it would seem that that was the tickling of the Mitzrayim, that even though they had every reason to be bitter, they were starving. In fact, in the story, they were so starving, they said to themselves, we will die of hunger with certainty. Let us turn ourselves over to the camp of the enemy, where maybe they will kill us, or maybe not. And so they went to the camp of the enemy, expecting that they would be killed. That's how starving they were. They ended up seeing an abandoned camp, as we said, that was miraculously emptied out, and the enemy fled from, because Hashem made some kind of illusion and they thought they were being attacked. But nevertheless, these Mitzrayim, they were in a horrible and bitter state, and they were in exile from everybody else. And yet when they came to the food and they realized that this wasn't only for them and this was an important thing to share with their brothers, that was the beginning of their empathy, and that was the beginning of their tikkun, and that was how they were ultimately cured from their tzaras, because they went through the process and they became less selfish. Now, this relates very much to what we spoke about last week, and perhaps a theme in a lot of what we're talking about, which is the importance of rooting out the selfishness within us and understanding and being empathic and connecting toward the needs of the people in our family. Not an exclusion to our own needs, and that's a whole other discussion, exactly how that's balanced. Certainly not an exclusion, but also to be as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, that he cared about the person who he was punishing, the person that needed to be punished, and the reason why they were being punished was because of their cheapness. And even with all that, he still feels bad for the person who worries about this cheap little vessel, because he's cheap, and he still feels bad for him. That's the mentality and mindset that we need to take upon ourselves. That is our tikkun. That is how we will grow from our own selflessness and small-mindedness and cheapness that contributes to the problems that we have in our lives, if we are able to tap into this empathic attitude and care about the other person based on how they feel, even if they're the cause of their own problem, even if it's their own crazy thinking that made the problem. So there you have it, folks. The lesson of this week's Parsha. I'm going to shut off the recording and open up the lines.